Hey, Melody. Hi. Good to see everybody. Give us all a minute to get here. Right. Okay. So we are gonna move into part two of rewiring negative thought patterns today. Before we do, a couple of pieces. So I wanted to name and acknowledge that at this point, we've been together for, I think, like 7 months. It's a long time. It's a lot of life. So much has happened for each one of us personally since we started this journey. So much has happened collectively out in the world. And so first I just want to like honor the chunk of life and living that we've all been together for, whether we've known our stories or not. It's actually pretty remarkable to journey in this way for this amount of time with a group and a community of people. Especially in this day and age, it's pretty extraordinary. And so I just really want to honor each of us and our presence and the ways that we have been showing up, whether you've shown up live or whether you have been listening to the recordings each week. I also, with that, want to acknowledge and name and honor that we still have 3 months left. And this is about the point in the progress where it's like, oh, it's been long. There's more. Yeah, you can laugh. It's true, right? I hear you. I get it. It is like I say it because, right? And then, like Lisa's saying in the chat, for some people, it's like, oh my gosh, it's only 3 months left. Maybe there's a little bit of both, right? But it's important to name that, especially because it's like, we've shown up and we've shown up. And we've shown up for 7 months. And you can, it is okay, not that you need permission from me at all, but for you to find permission in yourself to be like, and it's a lot, right? And I acknowledge that maybe it takes a little bit more effort for the home stretch to show up than it did in the first month or two. Remember, all of life goes in cycles, right? There's like high energy moments and like, yay. And then there's low energy moments. It's not supposed to all be high energy, rah, rah, all the time, right? So I really say this to just normalize wherever you're at. Right? Wherever you're at is exactly what is right for you. And I want to invite you to think about what perspective, so both inner and outer, what perspective, I'll ask this question first, what perspective is going to be most helpful for you to continue to show up for the learning in this journey in the ways that will be best for you. what perspective or belief, and it's perfect, we're working with beliefs, right? So like, what is the perspective or belief that is going to be really important and valuable for you to show up to receive what it is that you want to receive here for the next 3 months? This is the most interesting bit, Lisa saying. It's true. It, in many ways, it is. I'll give everyone another moment. What is it for you? What's going to be important to remember for you so that you can show up in the ways that are right for you? And please share in the chat if you want to. Julie's saying, I'm noticing I'm feeling simultaneously hungry for the more that is to come, and also gratefully and so well nourished. And this is what's inspiring me to continue showing up really. I love that. Beautiful. Here's another question. What is, this is so on an outer level, maybe you stepped in to, can I repeat that last question one more time? Michelle is asking. Absolutely. So the question is, what perspective or belief would be a helpful one for you to continue to show up in all the ways that you would like to show up here for the next 3 months? Sarah's saying, I'm a marinator. I claim it. I'll let all of the strategies, awarenesses, and skills soak in. I'll implement them as I go and as I'm able. Vlada saying, I can do the consistent inner and outer work necessary. Yes, to transform my life and in relation to that of others. Beautiful. Okay, so then here's an outer question. Maybe when you started the program, you came in with an intention for a habit, like I'm going to do the homework every week, or, you know, I'm going to show up live every week, or whatever it is. And maybe that habit has stuck and has worked for you and remained consistent. Maybe that habit has kind of fallen away for whatever reason. But whatever it is, my question is, what is a, from where you are now, what is a habit or something that you want to set up in your environment or your schedule or for yourself that can help you receive what it is you're here to receive for the next 3 months? So what is a habit, one that takes you into consideration, right, and where you're at, that you'd like to commit to? Habit or setting up of your environment or schedule or accountability in any particular way. And again, if you want to share in the chat so we can get lots of different examples, ideas, right? Or maybe it's just doubling down on a commitment that you've been upholding for the last 7 months. What are you seeing? Using the new techniques regularly. Yeah, great. Who else? What's going to be an important habit or setup for you? It's kind of like, you know, when you're running a marathon, and I don't know, I've never run a marathon, so I'm kind of making this up, but I'm imagining it's like when you get 2/3 through, it's good to kind of like get some perspective and plan out how are you going to make it through, right? Julie feels like committing to regular yoga practice in order to integrate. Beautiful. And to feel more expansive and embodied. I love that. Doris is committed to revisiting what we've learned and practicing with yourself and your clients. Beautiful. Okay. So the last piece, Wendy's saying continue to show up live and committing more time with homework. Good. The last kind of piece on all this that I want to name is that we are picking the pace up a little bit. And these two things exist together. It's like we're picking up the pace. So we no longer have modules that are 3 or 4 weeks long. But that being said, everything that we're learning in each training call from here on out in the program is not its own new thing. I mean, from the beginning, we've been building one thing on the next, but now we're actually just, we're looking at the nuances of things. And like every class that we have is, there's a little bit new and an opportunity to integrate everything, like it to pull it forward with us. So it's not, I'm not throwing a ton of new content every week. I promise you, even if at surface it feels like it, we're like in cyclical learning and we're backing back into things. We're definitely learning new, but they all kind of fit together. So I promise you that. It's not like, oh my gosh, and this week I have to learn a whole new thing. And this week I have to learn a whole new thing. It is like adding another layer to what is already there, adding another perspective to what is already there. If you are in a place where you're like, oh my gosh, I still have X amount of recordings to catch up on, or my coaching partner and I have only done 5 coaching sessions, or there's a lot of homework to catch up on. It's so funny. Doris's note in the chat came up just as I was saying this. I do feel behind, right? So if you feel behind, I want to also normalize that, because life is life, is life is life. And I want to offer you a couple of kind of thoughts and ideas on that. So number one, there's no such thing as not being behind. Like I can't think of one place in my life where I'm like, I didn't check. I checked all the boxes and I mean, like exactly right. So this and any program, like there is going to be no different experience than that, right? Be in the imperfection of it. Number two, create a plan. So if you have 5 trainings to catch up on, where can you put them in your calendar? For example, not let's like do 5 all in one day, right? Or I can't do anything else until I do those 5 in the program. But you know, maybe over the next 5 weeks, there's space to catch up on 1 a week, something like that. If you need any support in figuring out how to catch up, that's one of the reasons why we have Caitlin as our community ambassador. She will hop on the phone with you. She will strategize with you. She will help you figure out, oh, you know, maybe this thing is important to listen to or do right now. this can wait. You know, she can support you with any of that. All right, let me pause on this. Anything that anyone wants to share or what's feeling important about the conversation we've been having for you? What are you seeing? What's feeling important? What questions do you have? All right. So with all that being said, let's turn our attention to negative thought patterns or unhelpful thought patterns and rewiring them. And if you remember back to our last training call where we started, we kind of got foundational pieces around this. We looked at the power of the mind and how our thoughts are like just streaming through all the time and how we rely so much on those thoughts without even realizing it much of the time, to help us or not help us make aligned decisions. Those thoughts can often dictate how we feel and our mood. Those thoughts can often dictate how we show up. We looked a lot at how oftentimes those thoughts are not the truth. They are a story or a narrative that we've created, or that society or patriarchy or whatever you want to call it has created, that have just seeped in, that we've never even in a way questioned. And then when we think these stories, we often take them as truth, right? And then we make those decisions or show up based on these things that aren't actually true, but just a thought. We looked at neuroplasticity and how the mind is malleable, and how, you know, when we have a thought, then we think it again and we think it again and we think it again, it creates a deep groove in the brain. And then it just becomes our go-to place. But what we also looked at is that we can change that. We can change those neural pathways and those grooves and superimpose different thoughts, more helpful thoughts for ourselves. And then from there, we started to look at, I don't want to call it a technique, but kind of a way to start to rewire those thought patterns. And just as a reminder, what I was saying last week is that we don't have to do all of these things in the technique, and that they don't necessarily have to come in this order either. And we looked at the very first step, which is usually one that we do want to hit when we're working with ourselves and our clients on our thoughts, which is to identify what the unhelpful or negative thought is, right? To be able to see it and to name it. And we looked at a number of different ways that negative thoughts can show up from David Burns's book. And then I think, so, you know, those ways are just so we can start to notice them as practitioners when our clients mention them. And then we spoke a little bit about, okay, how are we going to help our clients identify the unhelpful thought, right? This step one, identifying, right? So, a client might be sharing what's going on for them or where a struggle is or where an obstacle is. And we can ask the question, what's the belief that's holding you back right now, right? If we sense that there is an unhelpful thought that's standing in their way, or what's the story that you're telling yourself right now about this situation? can be a great question because it already incorporates this concept of the difference between truth and story, right? What's the thought that's stopping you in your tracks right now? Another way to support a client for this step one, identify the unhelpful thought. Sometimes in the step one, the identifying the helpful thought, we might use our reflection skills and our creating awareness skills in the ways that we looked at in our creating awareness module. Now, I might be getting this wrong, but as I was just listening to you, I think I heard a belief that, right? And then name the unhelpful belief that you heard. Am I getting this right? Or how does that land for you? We also, in this stage, want to, as practitioners, want to recognize our own filters and where we might not be hearing an unhelpful thought because it's like it's in our filter too, right? And so I gave that story of that client of mine who is in her last trimester. And she wanted to set an intention for the call to optimize bringing in money for, you know, that last trimester of her maternity. Like, what more can I do? You know, these last 3 months. And I almost didn't catch it because I was like, yeah, we want to optimize before you go on break. But I was able to check that filter and see, oh, yeah, maybe she wants to do that. But there's a belief here that's actually a story, which is you have to do this before your maternity leave. And that just creating spaciousness and time for yourself is not an option, right? All right, let me pause on all of that. Whether you've been actively kind of with everything we looked at in our last training or not, if you're like, I hadn't thought about it until 5 minutes ago when I started going through the things, what is striking you? What is feeling important? What is resonating? Or what have you been noticing over the last few weeks since we last looked at this? I'd love to hear a couple shares. Lisa.
What I've noticed, and this has been over the time together and something else I was doing, what I noticed is that this is to do with a negative belief, but my resistance, I haven't looked at a certain resistance for many years because I didn't feel safe to look at the resistance, and the resistance was all around safety and security. So it's really interesting to me, and I wonder if this is true for clients. It's like, I was interested in your take on this, Joanna. It's almost like the belief can stop us looking at the resistance even in the first place. And then how do we work with that? Because if I'd known this, I've been a different place, I think. I'm like, oh my word. You know, I know everything comes at the right time and all of that, but I'm just, yeah, stunned, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So first, I just really want to honor, acknowledge that you're seeing this, right? And that it's coming through. And I can feel just from what and how you're sharing, Lisa, how big this is. And I'm excited to see. Yeah. And scary too, right? And the two can, yeah, and usually do live together.
It's annoying as well.
Yeah, what's annoying about it?
That I couldn't see it. Yeah. That I couldn't see it because it didn't feel safe to look.
Yeah, yeah. And you are absolutely entitled to the feeling annoyed, and we don't want to make that wrong. And that is a part of the experience. And what is the belief inherent behind the being annoyed with it?
That I had the power to do something different from how it's playing out, really. Mm-hmm.
And what about the annoyance for the time lost? What's the belief there around the annoyance?
Actually, it doesn't really matter. Do you know what? It doesn't really matter.
yeah, you just like, I just asked the question. I just saw you like coached yourself through a bunch of the things right there.
The learning is more important than the seeing, actually going through the experience is more important than my minor annoyance about it. It's like, whoa, if I can see this, I could see it for clients too, but I'm quite not quite sure how to do that. I sent someone to something, but I'm not really seeing it all, I sense.
Not really, I just want to make sure I'm understanding, not really seeing what all.
It's almost like, I don't know if I can describe it very well. It's almost like, it's like a belief that keeps everything else hidden.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see that belief that was keeping everything else hidden, because that belief was the same as the stuff that was being hidden. Does that make sense?
So much. It's like a domino effect, and it's almost like the umbrella hiding the rest of them, like you're saying, keeping it in place.
Yeah, keeping it in place.
Yeah, it's kind of like a king negative belief. Kind of,
yeah. Thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is where, because I think you're asking about clients, like as practitioners, we want to be listening, right? We just want to be using our listening skills. We want to be checking our filters. And we're not always going to find all the things too, right? Like no myth of perfection. Things reveal themselves as they're meant to. There may have been really good reasons why this belief didn't reveal itself to you, Lisa, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, right? So everything in its own time. But if we're using our listening skills, if we're checking our filters, if we're asking our clients, what's the belief you have going on there? If when fear and obstacles come up, we're looking deeper, the beliefs will start to come as they're ready. Is that helpful?
I think so. I don't know yet.
Fair enough. Good. Kelsey, did you have your hand raised? Did you want to share something?
I did, but then I decided it, you know, wasn't important enough to be shared and stuff like that. speaking of negative thought patterns, oh my gosh, Joanna, I just was able to catch up on last week's recording. And when you were going through all of the cognitive distortions, it was like, check with every single one. And, you know, and much like the kind of cyclical progression of this class, I mean, I've come across these distortions before in my personal work, but what really hit home was this, that my filters, it totally comes in with my clients, and they will say, you know, I'll hear a belief or a negative thought pattern of theirs. And there's this part of me that I think, because I spent so much of my life feeling really unseen and met, and like my thoughts about the world or my emotions were never validated, I find myself getting stuck in the validation with my clients, and then not really kind of fumbling when it comes to like escorting them to the "and here's what's possible" place. So that's kind of where my focus is today, is like, how do I really validate and assist in like forming the new, more helpful?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because I know that that's not only your experience. And it feels like even inherent in your process of becoming aware of this, you're starting to rewire a thought of like, you know, before it was like, can only be one or the other. It can only be like the validation or the let's shift this. And what I'm seeing is you're starting to like consider, very strongly consider the possibility that actually it can be both. You can absolutely validate and hold that space for the client to feel seen and heard in it, and also support them to not hold on to beliefs that aren't not helpful for them. Thank you. All right, so let's keep on going with this. And I think at the very end of our last class, I asked you to identify one current unhelpful belief for yourself that you'd like to work on. So I'll give you a moment right now to either come back to that, to remember that, or to just, you know, maybe there's another one that's on your mind today, a belief that you would like to rewire that hasn't been so helpful for you. We're going to need that for where we're going next. So if you aren't sure, raise your hand. And if you've got a bunch, you know, just pick the one that is calling to you most today. You can always go back with this process with the others. Julie's giving us a good example for you. It's been, I'm not ready. And that not ready is when it comes to openly and clearly sharing your offers and what you're here to do. Good. Okay. So far, I just want to point out, very similar to befriend your fear process, right? First, we want to identify the fear, or we want to identify the unhelpful belief. Next step, again, very parallel. I'm going to give you some different ways to do this, but very parallel and similar to the befriend your fear process. We want to explore the unhelpful thought. We want to understand it a little bit more. And we want to, in the exploring and the understanding it a little bit more, similar with fears, we want to create a different kind of relationship with it. So again, like we looked at with befriend your fear, oftentimes when we don't have that relationship, we have friendly relationship with the fear, we think it's all of us, right? And that is part of what holds us back and grips us. Similarly with thoughts, the more that we can explore the thought, it actually, and create a different kind of relationship, it actually creates more space so that we see the thought for what it is, a thought, not our whole story, and not a whole story on what's going to happen next for us either, right? But we just see it as, oh, that thought that I have. So that's really what this second step is all about, is now we've identified the thought, and now we want to understand it. We want to create more awareness. We want to gain insight from the here and now place and from a higher perspective, and we want to create that space. And we can do this, we can help our clients do this step two in a number of different ways. One way is very similar to how we did it in the befriend your fear process, is to find where in your body are you holding this thought, right? And then dialogue with it. A second way is just by asking questions. We'll get there in a few minutes. But there's another way that we can do this kind of somatically and through visualization. It's kind of like an out, it's a it's similar to that befriend your fear way, but just a little bit differently. We're going to do it and I'll take us all through it. Not as feeling the thought, where in your body do you hold it, but calling it down in human or animal form in front of us and having a dialogue with it that way. So we're going to do that in a moment. And just as we go into it, what I want to say is, what's really important about this is that we dialogue with the thought from that place of space, right? And that we dialogue with the highest wisdom of the thought. So I'll lead us through how, you know, in a group way. And obviously when you do this one-on-one, it's a one-on-one dialogue. Your client is going to answer, and then you can ask more questions based on that. But I'll kind of like give us the idea here. We'll have a practice. You'll get a recording of a practicum next week where I demo it one-on-one. All right. So with your unhelpful thought that you identified in mind, I invite you to take a moment and get centered. We're going to go inwards for a few minutes. If it's aligned to close your eyes, close your eyes. If not, keep them open and go inwards. And sense into the ground beneath you and the earth beneath that, and let yourself be supported by the earth. Let yourself feel grounded. And I invite you to call forward, to be in front of you in human or animal form, your negative thought. So call it to be, sit or stand right in front of you, this thought in human or animal form. And if you visualize, you may see what it looks like. And if you don't visualize, you can feel into its presence and its energy. And if you can see it, if you can visualize, take it in. What does this thought look like personified? Does it look like a version of you? Is it, what gender is it? Is it young or old? How does this negative thought hold itself? If it has clothing, what does this negative thought wear? What's the expression on its face? And connect with it as if you were connecting with a client or another human that was wanting and needing your attention. Connect into its energy and hold space for it. Hold space for its energy. And I invite you to ask this unhelpful thought how long it's been with you. Is it a new thought or is it one that's been with you for a long time? How long has it been with you? And then continue to connect and hold space for this thought. And ask it what event or series of events brought it into being. What event or series of events brought it into being? Continue to be with it, hold space for it. Ask it if it has a role model. Whom or what did it model itself on, this unhelpful thought? Whom or what did it model itself on? And ask it how it shows up and expresses itself in different areas in your life. How does it show up and express itself? What are the actions that you take because of it? What are the feelings that you feel because of it? Just having compassion for it. And then continue to hold space for the thought and ask it what it's protecting you from. What is it protecting you from? And then ask it to tell you from its highest wisdom, what does it want you to know? From its highest wisdom. And then if there's anything else that you want to ask it, take a moment and ask it now from its highest wisdom. And then thank it for showing up in this way, to share in a different way than it usually does. And then just let it go. Let it disappear for now. And take a nice breath or two. Cleansing. And if your eyes aren't already open, you can open them and take a moment to jot down anything that you want to jot down that came through. Yeah, Michelle, I'll put them in the chat. You should have them in a worksheet or resource sheet as well. I'll make sure that you do. And what I'm going to put in the chat isn't, I didn't ask all of these questions, but all right, I'd love to hear some shares. What came through? What's feeling important from that piece of work that we just did? Angie.
I've been laughing, but also like on the verge of tears, you know. It's like, it's one of those things where I could not have been more surprised. The questions I was working with were around one limiting belief I've always had is that I'm not creative. And one right now is that I don't have anything to offer. And so I kind of smushed them together and the Easter Bunny showed up. And so like, I was like dying laughing, of course, but then of course, the deeper the questions you get, it was there to show me that if it looks like a joke by itself, then like nobody, if it's being laughed at, that's what it's supposed to be, you know, like people are making fun of it or laughing at it and not taking it seriously. So of course, like that is a protection mechanism and all of that. And so it just was really beautiful, because the first thing that popped into my mind is, oh, it looks like a joke. Of course, that's ridiculous. Of course, you have something to offer. Of course, you have, you know, like all of these things. Of course, you're creative, but there's always layers deeper. And it was a really interesting and touching dialogue and going really deep into where it came from and very specific instances from childhood. And it was really beautiful. Inbal did this with me last week around fear. And it was a little bit different, but this always works for me so deeply. And I am excited to use this technique.
I'm so glad it came through. I'm so glad that you stuck with it, even though it could have been easy to be like, no, bring up something else. It should look like this, that, or the other thing, right? Like such a beautiful example for us all, also to support our clients. Just stick with it. Like, let's see what's there. Our mind will fill in the gaps and connect the dots and make meaning, because that's what our minds do, is make meaning. So I'm so glad that you stuck with it. Yeah, thank you. And I can tell you if I'm getting this right, but like, I feel also there's something about the seeing it and what came through. Like I'm noticing, just hearing like some lightheartedness. I know there's also the tears, but it feels like, oh wait, maybe poking holes now, like, you know, I don't have to believe this so much. Like this is right. So that exploration, poking the holes. Yeah. Good. Lori.
Hi. I had completely different than mine was not light and fun. Mine was a massive fire-breathing dragon and super like intimidating. And I'm like, okay, this isn't right. This can't be right. This is bad. And really stuck with it. And the message that I got from it You know, it just goes back to some childhood trauma, fear of being visible, fear of I'm not one of the cool kids. Nobody's going to like me. They're going to laugh behind my back. Yeah, they're nice to me, to my face. But, and what I saw and heard was you deserve to be loved. And I'm here to protect you.
Yes.
And I, this is something I've been working through for a long time, trying to be able to put myself out there and be confident and being visible. And it's like, okay, no wonder I've got this big protector here, but I'm really looking forward to being able to talk to it more and reassure it that, okay, I'm safe now. I'm a grown up now. I got this. I have stable, loving community relationships. So I'm safe to put myself out there. So it was really, really a good exercise. Not what I expected it would be. I usually don't sob during these things, you know, but very refreshing. Yeah, it was amazing.
I see it on your face. I see it on your face. I'm so glad you stuck with it. And if this resonates, when you go back to the dragon, another thing to ask it could be, how can I better use you in my life? Because my sense is that that dragon can be a real, it's been a powerful ally in its support of you, in its protection of you. And I think you're both starting to see it doesn't need to protect you in that way anymore. But that, I think some of your fire is in there, if that resonates, right? So how else can you use this dragon?
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for sharing. Inbal.
I had more of like a process realization question. Is that okay?
Can we hold it?
Of course.
Kelsey, and then we'll look at practitioner point of view. Yes. Kelsey.
Yeah, thank you for this, Joanna. Bambi came to me. And I like, I had this moment where I was like, oh no, like I can't really. But what I was working with was this belief of like, if I'm not good at it in the first try, like if I'm not just amazing, then it's not for me. Then I should, it's not my work. And it's just been eating at me. But what was surprising to me is that what came forward in like the moment that it kind of, how long it had been with me and what had brought it on was that as a young dancer, I was always really good at things, like at the first attempt. And so it was shocking to me to learn that like a positive experience of self could anchor in a negative thought.
Yes.
Yes. That was sort of a really interesting aha moment for me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that that came through. And I'm glad that you're sharing it here, because absolutely, it doesn't just have to be like, oh, this terrible thing that happened, right? And what you're sharing is so common. I've seen it before in clients. I see it in one of my daughters. Like, she always caught on to everything so quickly when she was younger. And it's like, that's awesome. And then there is this belief that will show up is if I don't get it on the first try, or I don't know how to stay resilient with this and persistent with this, right? So it's just also good for us as practitioners to know that is a thing. And I'm glad that came through. It feels like, I don't know, I'm seeing something on your face, like there's something you can do with this now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, with the highest wisdom at first, I was really struggling with that. And I'm curious if, you know, with my clients, I had a tough time jumping to like, okay, I'm working with a negative thought. How do I access this higher wisdom? And then through others' shares, it came to me that Bambi, like the young foe, like they have to get up, all of these young creatures have to get up and attempt walking. Like, you have to attempt it in order to learn it. And just how I'm sort of halting that entire experience by just sort of sitting there and not even like taking those first tentative steps.
Yes. I love it. I love how our site, like our, what our psyches bring up, right? That it, you're like, what is this Bambi? And then it's such beautiful, like, yes, that is the metaphor. Really, really gorgeous. From a practitioner point of view, I want to say I usually don't ask the highest wisdom question in the visual. I was like experimenting with that in here for precisely the reasons that you're saying. Like that, I was seeing if like we could get one of the other steps in on this one. And you know, sometimes it will work, sometimes not, but because this step is very much like we're just exploring that negative thought, we're getting to understand it, we're like getting the space from it. The higher wisdom question comes from something bigger than self. The thought is, right? So it might yield something, but that might be pause on that, and you'll see we'll get to it later in the process. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Inbal.
I had a similar question that I actually, yeah, that's part of like the, if that's part of like the pre-framing. But anyway, you'll get to it. I think the main thing that I noticed and is just a really important note for myself, and I see like my anxiety around time is like how much time, like your patience, and the time you spend in it.
With the process.
Yes. And it doesn't seem like, and it's like when you're doing, it seems like a lot of questions and you're not even like pausing for that long. But I noticed that it's like, I can sometimes have a sense of, I don't know if it's anxiety. That's just like, what's coming to me is that it's, yeah, just like the value of staying there for like a little while longer.
Yeah.
And it's actually not even that long.
Exactly.
But so it's like, it's really the details. Like sometimes I combine the appearance questions or things like that. And it's just, yeah, like the value of getting detailed.
Yeah, the space is part of it because we are, again, because we're wanting to create space and shift the relationship. And so we can't just rush through that to create the space. We actually need to give it time and space, but not a long time. I mean, honestly, that was 5 minutes. It was 5 minutes, you know? It might take a little longer working one-on-one with a client because they're answering and then you're reflecting back and then you're asking the next question, but it can be a 7-8 minute process. It doesn't. Now I have some client sessions where we'll go on for 30 minutes, but when we're doing that, it's like one thing is morphing to the next, right? Like the fire breathing dragon sprouts wings, right? And then we're like following that and where that energy, or whatever it is. Some people have the stamina for that, some people not. But this, it's like we want to give it space and like pacing, but in the end, it doesn't like really take up so much time. What were you saying before that, Inbal, about pre-contextualizing?
So like, and I think it's kind of like related to that someone also like asked, is that I thought when you framed the questions, you were like, from your highest wisdom, what does it want you to know? From your highest wisdom, is there anything else you want to ask it? And so I'm like, I thought that that was part of the process, like that you say it first, because you're reminding us to go back to the highest wisdom.
Yes. So there's a difference between the like pre-framing versus what does it want you to know? So the reason why the highest wisdom, I'll still put that in like from your highest wisdom, if I'm going to ask it to tell me more or ask a client to tell it more, is because like sometimes these thoughts can be really nasty. And if you don't have that in there, it'll be like, you just suck. And this whole thing is stupid. And you're just going to continue to, right? Like what, sometimes it can just be permission for it to just say like all the awful things versus what we're going for in this is, again, to create space, to see it for what it is, to see where it may have come from and why it's protected us. When I'm working one-on-one with a client, I don't have to be like, I don't necessarily have to say it because I'm hearing what they're saying back, like what the thing has said, and then I can redirect. But because I was doing this for a group, it's important to like put a little bit of those cues in. That's why I said beforehand, we're working from the highest wisdom, because I can't track each of you personally through that in the way I would in a one-on-one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And working one-on-one, would part of like the pre-framing for the exercise, you know, when like you're asking permission, do you want to go deeper? And like, I guess sometimes like, I think for the women I work with, sometimes it's helpful. And also like for, in terms of being trauma-informed, to let people know what to anticipate, but you also don't want to create too much of a, so if that's something, yeah, just like how you would describe it.
Yeah. So I like, if you sense that someone is might be prone to like, just really being judgmental of themselves and the like critical part of them, you know, doing X, Y, and Z, a couple things. So one is, first, you might want to explore it via conversation, which we're going to get to in a minute, right? So to do that first, or like you're saying, or a combination of, to pre-frame, right? So, you know, to say, sometimes when we do this, at first, the critical part is gonna like, it's gonna say the things that it says to you all the time, maybe, right? It might show up that way that you're not even realizing in the moment. So if it does, first of all, like you're going to be sharing with me and know, like, this is not because we're listening to it necessarily. We'll see how it wants to show up. This is so that we can see from a higher perspective in a removed place what this story keeps on saying to us. 99% of the time, I don't pre-frame that, but always pre-frame if you sense that's going to be important. Okay, good. Sarah.
Sorry. I've been wondering about this for a while, whenever we've dropped into an exercise like this, about how you would introduce it into your coaching practice if your practice is really differently configured. Like, in my case, parents coming to me and saying, we want to write a co-living agreement with our young adult. So that was one thing. But then as I was listening, I thought, oh, you know, I do a lot of support groups. I could sort of say, hey, let's do something different today, just for our first 5-minute meditation. But I don't know. I don't have experience. I have experience leading meditations, but never really taking a content like that, that would be possibly sensitive. Was that too many questions piled on top of it?
I was going to ask you, like, tell me what is the question?
The question is really, I can feel that some of this work would be really powerful, right? And so I'm beginning to see how I could seed in little bits of questions, like from your highest wisdom. Like, suppose we're working on a home agreement and there's just this one part, like allowing one's child to disappear in their room for 16 hours a day on technology. You know, I could probably start weaving these questions in. So I may have answered it for myself, but this is really pretty far removed from the work that I do, but I'm really gripped by it.
Yeah. So it might be with a lot of your clients, you don't do it in a visualization somatic way. You do it in conversation. So any of the questions that I asked in that process, aside from what is it, but you can even say like, if this in regular conversation, if this thought were to be personified, what would it look like? Oh, it looks like a ferocious cat. Why do you think it looks like a ferocious cat? Right. So you don't have to go into the visualization. When was the first time that this ferocious cat started telling you this story? Right. Who else in your life was telling this story? Right. So we can do this. For some clients, it's going to be more, or some moments, it's going to be more appropriate to explore it in just conversation. It's okay. Still doing the same thing. It's helping us understand it more. It's giving us more space.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. And then somebody could come forward and say, wow, that was really, if they wanted, you know, if it really worked for them, they could let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And then there was something else I was going to say, Sarah. Oh, with the specific example that you gave on the, sometimes parents come and what did you call it? They want to create a document for.
Yeah, it's called it's like, my kid is coming home from dropping out of college and coming home, co-living agreement. Got it. And it was a nightmare when they were here last summer.
Yes. Okay. So just for you and for everyone else, like another way to think about beliefs with an example like that, and everybody can apply their own thing. Maybe one of the first, it might not be the first question you ask those parents, but maybe one of the first questions is, you know, before we actually create this document, what are the beliefs that this document is going to be based on? Mm-hmm. What are the beliefs that you know you don't want to bring into this document and into this agreement? And what are the beliefs that you do want to bring into this document and agreement, right? Just that alone is exploring, is naming, is being like, oh, there's the danger of that belief to make its way in. What's a better one? What's a different one, right? So there's so many different ways that we can do this work of the naming, the exploring, and then ultimately the finding, the better belief or the higher wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So as Sarah and I were just talking, again, another way to do this is through conversation, right? And the method that we choose for this step to exploring is going to be based on the client, you know, what is going to feel right for them, how much time we have available. It's so many different things. I will sometimes talk it out versus doing a visualization with a client who loves somatic and a visualization. It's just like, it may not feel needed in that moment, or it's not enough time, or right, whatever it is. So you can use any of the questions in the somatic process. And then I'll just throw in some other exploratory questions that you can ask, and you can put these into the somatic process as well. Who would you be betraying if you were to think differently here? Who would you be betraying? Who or what part of yourself would you need to forgive if you were to think differently about this? How does this negative or unhelpful thought protect you from taking action or responsibility? You could invite a client to draw a picture of the negative thought. Also, or to stand up and be like, if this negative thought had like an expression on its face and a stance, what would it be? Right. And have them do it and then sit down and then ask questions about it. If you want to bring a little bit of the somatic in, but not go all the way there. There's lots of different options. Okay, any other thoughts or questions on step two, exploring the negative thought, or anything else that wants to be said about that? No? Okay, so hopefully at this, and again, I'm talking linear, but it's kind of cyclical, and sometimes you're going to explicitly do some of these things. Other times it'll be sort of baked in. Oh, wait, I see Julie has a question. How might you support someone in this work when they have difficulty bringing forth a personified animal? So again, Julie, any of the things I just said, like just regular conversation without the personification, the standing up, what's the expression on the face or the stance in the body, the drawing a picture, looking through a magazine, find an image that reminds you of this unhelpful thought. Did I answer your question, Julie? Okay, great. Okay. So after you've explored the thought, you've created this space, then you can ask the question, and your client is more in a more resourced place to answer, is the thought actually true? Is this actually true? Is this a story, or is this a truth? Or is it a truth all the time, or is it a truth sometimes? Is it possible that it's not exactly true, right? Or on a scale of 1 to 10, how true is this thought, right? So in other words, and sometimes again, like you might want to ask this explicitly. Other times, just through that process we just did, it's clear that they're like, oh, wait, it could be something else, right? Or I could this, or I could that. But if you want to really drive it home, this is a good moment in the process to get the like internal valid or understanding or validation from the client. Like, oh, wait, I'm starting to poke some holes in this narrative. I'm seeing it's a narrative, not a fact-based truth. That makes sense? You could, before you go into, if you're going to do the visualization, you could say on a scale of 1 to 10, how true is this thought to you? You know, and then at the end of it, on a scale of 1 to 10, right? And we're looking for not zero, right? We're looking for movement, right? Or for the possibility of, oh, maybe this isn't, or maybe it's not always true. Anina is saying, what if the person thinks it's completely true? I have never, and this is just my experience, I've never seen after an exploration, so after step two, no matter how you do the exploration, I have never seen someone at a 10 still with the thought. If it is still a 10, and it's like a 10 always, there's no possibility otherwise, then it might be that that's not going to loosen up right now. For whatever reason, it's not the right moment. But I personally, if someone is already willing to name the thought and then explore around it, it's going to loosen a little bit. Is that satisfactory, Anina? Let me know. Can't see you on the screen. Yeah, okay. All right. So once there's that loosening, the, oh, it might not be exactly true or always true or even true at all, then you've got this opening to support the client to find a better thought, the higher wisdom. And so you can, if you want, ask at that point, like, what is a more helpful thought that you're willing to consider here? What's a more helpful thought that you're willing to consider? Another way to get at the new thought for rewiring or the higher wisdom is to bring in spirit, whatever spirit is for that client. Could be God, could be their great grandmother, could be earth energy, higher power. And you can kind of connect in, help them connect in with whatever that is, and ask that higher wisdom, what is higher wisdom on this thought? What is a new thought for me to start to lean into? Or what is a more helpful thought? For some clients here, asking, what would spirit want you to believe about this? Or what would your great grandmother, you know, who loved you very much, if they mention it, want you to believe? What would Oprah want you to believe about this, right? Like, spirit can also be people that we like look up to, that we trust their opinion, right? So let's all do this in case it didn't come through in the visualization. Think about the thought that you have been working on today. And let me ask you, what is a more helpful thought here? What would spirit want you to believe on this? And if you could share in the chat, let's see some examples of a higher wisdom or a new thought or a more helpful thought. Michelle is saying, I feel in my body the truth of the new thought versus the thinness of the fear. Beautiful. Fanchen is saying, it's more than okay to be you. It's all that you can be. Yes. Lisa's saying, you're not too busy for the important work that's guided by spirit. Yes. Kelsey's is at first you don't succeed. Try again. Beautiful. It looks like Michelle is already going where I'm going to invite you to go next. I want to invite everybody to feel what this new thought feels like inside of you, right? When you're just like willing to let it in, what does this feel like in your body to settle into this new thought? What does this thought feel like? Just notice that. And what would be possible for you if you were to believe this new thought? What would be possible for you if you were to believe this new thought? All right, let's pause here. Vlada saying, I can be gracious and loving in my power. Yes. All right. Anything that wants to be asked or shared or anything that you're noticing or seeing about this step four, what's the higher wisdom? What's the more helpful thought and supporting your client to identify it and feel it and see the possibilities inherent in it? Right, because that's part of that last question that I asked, what would be possible if you believe this? That's seeing the possibility in this new thought. Anything that wants to be said about any of that? I can't remember if anyone in this group in particular works in corporate and with teams, yeah. Maybe not with the visualization or as deep of the exploration questions, but this process of supporting a team, corporate, not-for-profit, like whatever it is, to see a belief that's been baked into the operations or into the system that hasn't been helpful, but that has been driving a lot of decisions, and then helping the team to identify a more helpful thought, and then what actions can be taken or things can be shifted from that place. It can just be, it's incredible work to do with teams, and you can do it in a corporate way. Okay, last step. Very, very important step is create the new neural pathway for the new thought. Because remember, the old pathway is still pretty deeply grooved. It's not like we've done this now. And then now this new higher wisdom is the go-to place, right? And it's just like our client is always going to think that there's work now. This was all the easy part, you know, this is the breakthrough. Now is the work of let's intentionally ski down that slope and ski down that slope and ski down that slope and ski down that slope until it's grooved in. And the skiing down the slope is about coming back to the thought, consistently coming back to the feeling, the new feeling in the body of the thought, and consistently taking baby actions based on the belief, based on the thought. So we always want to give homework, right? Or strategize with a client on homework and then follow up on this for a bit. And it'll obviously come into your work as you move forward, but don't just like leave it in the dust, right? Remember that the old neural pathway is probably there for decades for most people. It doesn't have to take decades to deeply groove in the new one, but it does take work. So some ways to do this, ask your client to write about the new thought every day, to write a paragraph about it, almost like they're a lawyer supporting this new argument, right? And like the consistency of that. What does this new thought look like personified? See it and then embody it. What does it feel like? Create a collage that represents the new thought. Don't do it in one sitting. Do it over the course of a couple of sittings and a couple of days, and then keep it on your desk or wherever you're at. We spoke a little bit about mantras last time and why they work versus like, I am rich, I am rich. Like that's not, but you can, say the new thought out loud or sing it out loud and then breathe it in to every nook and cranny of your being. Feel it, right? Track and replace. Notice when in your week you're reverting to the old thought replace it in that moment. You may have to replace it again 3 minutes later, right? But track and replace. And then what is an action that you can take? If you were to really, if you were to believe this, what is one action you can take this week or two, right? And then working on all of that consistently to rewire. It is, as you've heard me say before, it is the less sexy work. It's not the breakthrough work, but this, it is every bit as important as the breakthrough work. All right, I want to share, we have 5 minutes. Nope, I'm going to leave that for another time. Okay, what is feeling important? What are you seeing from our work today? What are you noticing? What are you taking for yourself? Wants to share. And actually, as you're, before you share, there is one more piece that I want to mention. This is true for this work and for all the work. The more, but especially for this work with the thoughts, the more we can also help our client take care of their body, the better this work is going to be. Because remember, our mind is in our body, and our body is a container and a sacred vessel. If we're really tired, if we're really hungry, right? Like, dysregulate, like all the things, this is going to be harder. It's going to be harder to settle into. So like caring of self for a strong container of body and a being grounded really supports doing this rewiring work. All right. I'd love to hear a last thought or two. Angie is saying you're taking away how expansive all of this feels in your body. It's so effective and works in a powerful way, but it takes deep work and repetition. Yes. For it really to take hold. Good. Who else? I'd love to not be the last voice. Who wants to, anyone want to share what you're taking away? Yes, no. Or any questions? Jennifer.
I can share. I'm just laughing because I slept really bad last night. So I'm exhausted and I'm like, I have to watch this again because it's so important. And I felt a little dysregulated, a little distracted. And I'm like, it is like your body being like taking care of it and not being tired so that this can really be integrated. So I will be watching this again and knowing how important it is and how important it is to, you know, really take care of self and make sure our clients are doing the same so that they can really receive all of this as well. So thank you.
Thank you. I hope you get more sleep tonight.
Thank you.
I would just like to have those nights.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, everyone, I'm sending you all lots of love. I'm excited for you to continue to play with all of this week, experiment in your partner sessions with it. And I will see you soon. Have a great rest of your day.